Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we're going to start reading here in verse 12. You know, the title of today's teaching is Eternal Realities. And in 8:12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now I ask you a question when it comes to all of these things when we read the scriptures. You know, I stopped and I thought about this. And we acknowledge it. You're all here because you believe God. You're all here because you love God's word. There's no question about that in my mind, right? Do you take every single word that God has given us, do you sink it into your heart, and then realize that you can live this? Because that's the issue. The issue for God's people, many times, many Christians, all of us, is that we know the scriptures. We believe on our Lord. We believe in a God up above. We believe in a Father. But we don't always grip and hide these words so that nobody's going to talk me out of this. Look at what Jesus says again. I am the light of the world. We got no problem with that one, right? He's the light of the world. I believe that fully there in my mind. But it says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You follow him. You have the light of life. You don't walk in darkness. You don't walk in darkness. You're tempted to walk in darkness. But when you're walking according to the truth of God's word, when you're walking according to the precepts, the teachings, you're walking by the Spirit of God that he's given to you, you do not walk in darkness. You are walking in the light of life. Can you believe it? Because you're challenged with that one. You're challenged with that one. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. Do you ever go through that in your head? It comes right as soon as you read what the Lord said. Did Jesus lie? That's what I got to ask you. Did he lie or did he tell us the truth? So what is the lie that keeps coming at you? Because that's what it is. And then which one do you hang your hat on? Which thing in your mind are you going to hang, you know what I mean, hang your hat on, right? I mean, I know you're not all from Brooklyn, but you get it. All right? Which truth do you believe? The one that Jesus said or the one that comes to your head right after you read it? Because both words are there. One is from the old man nature, the world of darkness, the old nature. It's easy. It's right there. But this is from our Lord. This is what he says. This is what he spoke. And I dare not allow myself to call him a liar. I have to force my mind. This is called the renewed mind. I have to think what I'm told to think. I have to choose that this is the reality. Doesn't matter how I feel. I never feel that good. On my best day, I need a cup of coffee. You follow me? So this is the challenge that you and I have. Do we want to walk in deliverance? Do we want to walk free? Do we want to walk in the liberty in which he paid for? Then I have to choose. There's the lie. There's the truth. And it doesn't matter what's around me. I have to choose. God has given me the ability to choose. Go to Colossians. There's so many beautiful realities, spiritual realities, that I think sometimes as the years go by, we gloss over a little bit. You know, now maybe you're better at this than I am, but I gloss over them sometimes. And I have to stop, just like I stopped and I thought to myself, what is the thing that I want to share with you all? And I started to think about this subject. And I started to think, you know, the difference between me, I know it. Intellectually, I've been reading it. I believe it. I see it on the paper. But do I see it in here? Do I see it in McCabe? Do I see it in my life? Yeah, you all have the Spirit of God, right? The Spirit has fruit. All right, joy. Self-control, peace. Are you manifesting it? That's what you got to ask yourself the question. It's yours. So it's in you. It's in you. So what are you frowning about? Why are you walking around with a grumpy puss? Yeah. You got what God says you have. In verse 12, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, we are to give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, there's that word light again. Our Father, we give him thanks because he has. It's not might. It's not will. He has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us? It's already a done deal. He has delivered you from the power of darkness, and he has transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's already done. We live in this world. We live in a dark and it's despicable. Sometimes I think that the world is more evil than it was in the days of Noah or Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll leave that up to God, but it's kind of getting to that impression in my mind, right? But I'll leave it up to God to judge. But it ain't healthy. Hatred is everywhere. I mean, and people push it. Let me find a reason to hate you. I want to walk around and find a reason, and I already got one, to love you. You've got the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You have been and are adequate to be a partaker of the inheritance. You know what that means? You belong there already. You belong there. in this kingdom. He has given you that inheritance. It's yours. It's yours. It can't be. He won't take it away. Do you believe it? Do you really, do you wake up in the morning knowing I am free? I am kingdom bound. I am delivered from the darkness of this world. I don't have to allow it. I live in it, but I don't have to allow it to pollute me. I don't have to allow it to pollute me. Will it continue to be dark? Will it always be dark? Yeah, it will be until the Prince of Peace returns. And then he's going to wipe up the floor with these people. He is going to take control. Praise the Lord. But we've been delivered from the power of darkness. There's nothing the adversary can do to you that unless you allow it. You know, he can't make me hate somebody. He can't. He tries. He can't make me lose my cool. He can't make me. He don't own me anymore. I'm not his. He still says, hey, John, come on. Come on. This way. I have to choose. He doesn't have any power unless I give it back to him. And I give it back to him if I believe his lies. See, everything, we live by faith, right? The question is not, do you have faith? You all have faith. Everybody's got faith. Every moron on the earth has got faith. Question is, what do you have faith in? What do you have faith in? Do you have faith in what's the lies being told to you? Or do you have faith in exactly what God has said to you? Because you can believe that the chair will hold you up, but if it's a rotten chair, you're going to hit the floor. And just because you believed it didn't make it not collapse. But if you believe something that God says, you know that that is for sure. This is coming to pass. If Jesus said it, it's done. He's not a liar. But I have to choose. Every single thought has to be kept in obedience to what he says rather than what the adversary is trying to pull me into. You know, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are able to walk with your Lord, and you are blameless. You know why you're blameless? Because Jesus Christ paid for your sins. It's not because of anything you did. It's because of what he did. You are able to walk blameless and harmless as God's sons. As long as you choose to believe the words, to walk by the Spirit, to choose. You got the ability. It's already a done deal. God's not going to be able to help you with any of that. It's already done. At your end of the bargain is to believe what he said. Jesus paid for it. He's already empowered you. Look at what else it says here. Without rebuke, you're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, so hold forth the word of life. Which is our mission, right? Our whole mission in life here now is to reconcile others back to Him. You have God in Christ in you. He dwells within you. Your Father is dwelling within you. He wants an intimate relationship with you. Do you give it to Him? Do you believe that? I think we do. But how often do you give Him the fellowship, the conversation, the space in your mind that He deserves? Your Father is always with you. I just had the joy of having Zach and Christine and Eliana with me over the last couple of days for the holiday. You know, and to watch the baby is the great joy for all of us, right? She's the one that puts the smile on our face. She's running around. Grandpa, sit down. Grandpa, get up. Grandpa, come. And I am so happy to do it. I am so happy to listen to this 2.5-year-old because she's acknowledging me. She knows I am her grandpa. She has grown to the point where she's not just sitting there blowing bubbles. She, you know, being cute. She knows who I am. She knows she's got a relationship. And she walks in the room. Where's grandpa? Where's grandma? Do we do that with our Father in heaven? That's who we are in His sight. We're His little children. You know, you never become adults in Scripture. You're always the child. You may become a servant, but that's just when, you know, the kid grows up enough to do what you ask. Like, can you put this in the garbage for me? Or Moses, can you pick up this stick? I'll turn it into a steak. How much space does God have in your heart and in your mind each and every moment of the day? You're going to see Him face to face. It ain't going to be long for us. Have you noticed time goes by quickly? Really quickly? It's not going to be that long. Doesn't matter if it's 30 years from now. That's not that long. And I don't know if I want to last all that long anyhow, personally. But I'll last as long as I'm useful. That's all I pray. And then I will sleep, or my Lord will return, and the next moment of my thoughts in life as I see Him face to face. And there'll be nothing but joy because I won't even have to choose anymore. He'll give me a new mind and a new body, and all the evil and all the darkness and pain and suffering will be done away. And I won't even have the conflict to have to choose. I'll just have perfect, perfect joy and rejoice in Him. But our job is to hold forth the word of life. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. But it's not, you know, our joy is our the blessing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, for we were sometimes darkness. I think most of you can remember that day. Okay? Hate was something I trained myself to do so I could be more powerful. All right? Arrogant was something that I needed to do in order to think I was better than somebody else. I don't need to do any of that anymore. How do you get better than being God's child? And love is so much more pleasant. But let me get back to here to the scripture. I'm drifting a little bit. For you who sometimes were darkness, but now are you lights in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And just don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are proved are manifest, are being manifest by the light. Are you children of light? This is what our life looks like. The world is crazy, crazy. I mean, the place I live, my neighborhood's pretty peaceful. You know, but it's still crazy. You got spiritual casualties in every house, up and down the street. You got drug addiction, you got pain, you got sickness, you got disease, you got people that are miserable, shut-ins, mentally disturbed. They're all up and down the street. And that's in a really nice little neighborhood. It's sad. That's why you hold forth the word of life. You love. You manifest the Spirit. You manifest love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness. You walk down the street and you smile and you love these folks. And you just greet them. And hey, there's somebody that's kind of like weird. They're happy. How many times have you walked in, something different about you? Why are you smiling? I had one lady yell at me. Why are you smiling? That's weird. To be so different from the world that they're disturbed by it. They get enough hell everywhere. They don't need it from you. They get enough divisiveness. They don't need it from you. There's nothing different there. In fact, you can't even match their evil. At least I pray not. You are what he says. You are the children of light. You know, this kind of light. And, you know, the whole reason we can be any of this, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Start in verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us. You know, you have been so loved. I remember how, you know, just to digress a touch here, I remember a little bit before I got in the Word. I got in the Word in my early 20s, right? I started 20. I think I was 20. And I remember having worked my life before that. I remember being a little kid and getting bullied. I remember saying, I ain't going to be bullied no more because I'm bigger than everybody else. So I'm going to learn to be meaner than all the rest of them. And I did that. And then after a while, I didn't have to prove myself in that anymore. I had convicted murderers that wouldn't mess with me in high school. And then, but I was always afraid. Every day of my life, I was afraid. The reason I had to project this persona of toughness was because I was deathly afraid. I wasn't at peace. I was afraid that somebody else would take the top spot. Somebody else would abuse me. Somebody else would use me. It was all based upon fear. You know, you can have the whatever you got, the swagger you got, but why do you got it? Me, it was all based upon that I was afraid. I was afraid that I wouldn't be courageous enough. I was afraid that I wouldn't be worthy. I was afraid that nobody would pay attention. I was afraid that I wouldn't be the tough one. I was afraid that if they didn't think I was tougher, that then I would end up getting hurt. There are people out there that are afraid of being alone. You're never alone. There are people out there that are afraid that their life isn't worth anything. It's worth everything. But again, what do you believe? What have you sunk your teeth into in your heart and mind and believe? Is it what the Lord said? Is it what the scriptures say? Or is it what you have experienced in the darkness of this world? Because the love of Christ constrains us. It's begging us. It keeps asking. It keeps pulling in on us. The love of Christ constrains us. Verse 14, we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If Jesus Christ died for me, then guess what? I am dead that day. When I accepted my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that moment I died. McCabe of old died, and now I'm his. That's how God sees it. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yea, we henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. You know, that's, did you ever see Jesus Christ in person? You don't know, you never knew him after the flesh. These people did. They watched him walk on the earth. They watched him heal. They watched him teach. They watched him play. You and I have never seen that. But you know what? When he was raised from the dead, he's different. He's different than his earthly ministry. He is glorified. And so are you. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you believe the things that Christ said, if you live the things that Christ said, if you accept the things that have been done for you, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given that ministry to you and to me. If we use it, then we're doing our job. If we don't, we're not doing our job. But he reconciled us, every one of us, to himself. And he did it because he gave his son, and his son died. And he died miserably, and he paid for every single sin. And when he was on the cross, he did it in substitution for you. Therefore, you were on the cross. And when he suffered, you suffered. And when he was buried, you were buried. And when he was raised, you were raised. You are a new creation. You are a new race. Can I put it that way? Says that in Peter. Says that in Peter. You are a new race of people. You're no longer Adams. You no longer belong to the devil. You belong to him. You are the children of light. Children of the day. You're already there. See, I can come in here and love every single one of you, no matter how much I know you. Because that love, what Jesus did for us, that love that God showed to us, it constrains us. Walk this way. Do what I ask. You know, live what I gave you. Live what I have given you. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. I am here instead of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I beg you, whoever I'm talking to, be reconciled to God. That is what you do. And you say, well, I'm just an old guy. Yeah. Or you can believe. You can walk in and say, I'm an ambassador for my Father, for my Lord and Savior. I am an ambassador. Do you believe it? Do you walk like it? Do you walk in a room like it? Do you walk in ready to give rather than take? Do you walk in ready to minister and to love like your Lord did, rather than expect to be ministered to? That's all what you believe. That's manifesting what you believe. See, and the whole reason is because of verse 21. For he has made us, for he hath made him to be sin, a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin so that I could have his righteousness. The reason I have his righteousness is because he was the sin offering. It's a done deal. You are as righteous as Christ at this moment. The question is, do you believe it? That's the question. That's what you got to smack. You know, you watch The Three Stooges. And Moe would one up, and I hope you all have, but Moe would run over to Curly and across the face. I wish the Lord do that to me once in a while. You have exactly what he says. He transferred his innocence, his love, his righteousness, everything that he was, he transferred it to you, and he took upon himself all of your garbage and death and evil. It's already done. Don't walk back in it. Do not spend your time in the shallows of the darkness of this world. You'll see it, but you don't have to own it. I hear about it, but I don't have to own it. You're supposed to reprove it. And you reprove it the way the Lord told you to, with his word. I just love it. Galatians. Yeah, there's a record here. I don't know how much time I've used. Doesn't matter. My time. Galatians chapter 2. Do you remember this record where Paul confronts Peter? Well, you can read it, a whole record for yourself. It's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 21. But I just want to talk to you about it. Paul has been teaching and preaching the scriptures. People have been manifesting the power of God. The word has been moving among the Gentiles at Antioch, and it's going beautifully. And then he goes in Acts chapter 15. Some people come up and give a question whether you have to be circumcised, and they have to become circumcised. In other words, they have to become Jews who believe on Christ. And by the way, if Paul didn't do that, that's exactly what you would all be doing. You would all be believers in Christ, but practicing Judaism. But thank God this record's here. So Peter, after Acts chapter 15, and they say, man, this is great. God's working in you like he's working in Peter with the Jews. He's working in you with the Gentiles. They give everybody a kiss, shake hands, and go back to where they came from. Paul goes back to Antioch. Peter goes up there too. And he's hanging out with the Gentiles, and he's having a great time. He's eating with them. He's sharing their life, sharing their fellowship. And he's not being kosher with them. He's not living like a Jew. I know that from the record. And then all of a sudden, the guys come from James. They come from Jerusalem. They come up from James. And Peter withdraws himself. I can't be eating with you people right now because I am afraid of what they're going to think. And I have to go back to being a Jew and eating kosher and staying separate and not living under your roof and not eating at your table. And what was that all about? That was all about Peter being afraid again, believing a lie, worrying about what people thought rather than what the Lord has been doing. So he was happy to do it just before they came. So you got to ask yourself the question, did he think it was a sin? No. Barnabas, Peter, other Jewish, Christians, or other Jewish by history Christians are ministering to these Gentiles, and they're just believing on Christ, and they're doing miracles. And these other guys come up, they believe in Christ, but they are practicing Jews, and doctrinally they believe you got to keep the law. and you Gentiles belong on this side of the room, and we belong on this side of the room, regardless of the fact that we all believe in Christ. And you've got a lot of that going on today. Almost every church. You know, just about everybody. You know. So Paul stands up and he confronts him. He confronts him because the doctrinal error that Peter is bringing into the church has to be confronted. And he confronts him publicly. He embarrasses the heck out of Peter. Remember, Peter was the main guy. But he's not acting like the main guy. James is acting like the main guy. Peter's not believing what he was told. So he withdraws himself. He withdraws himself. And what it says here, you know, Paul says, if I go back and do the law like you, Peter, I'm going to be sinning. He says that in this particular record. If I build again the thing that I tore down, I'm the one that's sinning. And he says in verse 20, for I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'm going to teach Galatians right after, I'll probably start teaching it in my basement by myself for at least, I want to see if this works so I can put it on video and send it to you. If it don't work, then I'm going to teach it at fellowship to whoever shows up. And you better not take yourself off of mute. And mess up my audio. My point here, Paul is saying explicitly what we just read before. He knows that Paul, the old Paul, is dead. It's crucified. That man, all those rules, regulations, my life, it's dead. It was crucified with Christ. And I live now by the faith of the Son of God. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've got everything that he says. I don't need the old schoolmaster of the law. It doesn't add anything to me. It doesn't take anything away. You know, the Torah made known what sin is. Laws don't make people better. You ever notice that? It doesn't make you better. It makes you aware what sin is. So you choose to do it or not. Sometimes you don't do it because you're going to go to jail. Sometimes you don't do it because you're going to get a ticket. But it didn't make you a better person. You still wanted to go fast, and you still wanted whatever you wanted to go to jail. It doesn't make you a better person. It's not what the intent of the law. It was a schoolmaster. It's like how you train a child. The law was training. It was to keep you alive. The reason I gave my children spanking when they ran in the street was because I didn't want them to become a speed bump and get killed. They suffered the consequence of breaking the rules so that this small consequence would keep them from having a larger one. And so God gave the law, and he also taught what Christ would come and do. And he showed them the shadowy types. But it didn't make Israel a better individual. None of those things do. You know what made you different? The Spirit, a new creation. You believe the gospel, you're a different person. You're a completely different person. Now you have to choose to discipline yourself to believe these things, to change your heart and mind, to believe truth rather than the darkness that you walked in. But it's yours already. You got the capability to walk in the love of God. You got the capability to fellowship with the Father day one. You know, I didn't have to take a class for that. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I joyed and rejoiced, and I was happier than I'd ever been in my life. I talked to my Father in heaven like he really heard me. I was no longer on my knees begging, please, please hear my prayer. I knew he heard me. I knew he hears me. It's alive. It's real. It's real. And the newness of it was exciting. It's just as exciting today if you don't let it get old in your head. And if you don't let it get blended with the darkness of this world. Look at Romans chapter 4. All of it again. I'm going to start moving a little quicker here. But at least I'm going to try to. It's not my style. Not my style. I thought to myself, you know, if I record a teaching and I put it on double speed, I can still understand it. I said, that's not good. You're slow, John. You're slow. In Romans chapter 4, verse 21, it says, and being fully persuaded, we're talking about Abraham. He was fully persuaded that God Almighty, had promised, he was able also to perform. If God said something to Abraham, he knew he would do it. And therefore, it was imputed to him. It was set to his account for righteousness. God made Abraham righteous because he had faith in what he said. Not because Abraham did anything or was a better person. Now, it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. It'll be set to your account if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You don't have to seek for it. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to beg for it. You have peace. God's got no problem with you. He knows exactly the train wreck that he saved. I often thought, did God really know who he's calling here and who he's allowing to teach and speak? And then I came to understand, yeah, he knew exactly what he was getting, and he was happy. All heaven rejoiced, as it says in the parables, when one soul believes. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have, it's already there, access by faith. Do you believe it? Unto the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory in tribulation, mental pressure, stuff that comes up in life, It's not so pleasant. I rejoice in it. Why? Because I got a deliverer. And even if I don't get delivered in this life, I know I got everything after it's done. That's when you really get healed. You know that verse, by his stripes we are healed? That's when the complete and absolute healing comes. When our Lord and Savior comes back and you get a new body and a new mind. You get a piece of it here and there. Now, according to your faith, according to what's available to you, but you get that, but you will never. They'll be complete and absolute. I won't be an old man anymore. That'll be nice. So, not only so, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. See, this was all done at the cross. Everything was done at the cross. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards you and me, us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. You know the wrath that's coming when God's wrath is poured out in the book of Revelation on all the ungodly? You won't suffer that. You'll suffer what the devil throws at you. You will suffer the great tribulation if you're alive to see it. That'll be nothing pleasant. But that's minuscule compared to God's wrath. You're going to be saved from that because you'll already be changed. For if when we were enemies, believe that word, you were God's enemy. People who do not believe are God's enemy. Now, what does he do with those enemies? He sent his son to die for them. That's the love he had. That's what he did for you and me. I wasn't a good little boy. Even if I was still his enemy. That's what I mean. Just because you obeyed your parents don't mean you were any better. You just didn't want to face the consequence. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have received the atonement, the at-one-ment. I have am at one with him. You are at one with him. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, Jesus Christ said, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. We are one with them. They live within us. You are lacking nothing. Absolutely nothing. Don't get pulled into the darkness. Choose what you believe. Choose what it says. You can always get a little bit more wisdom and understanding on how you should understand it. But you've got to just choose. If you're going to wait until you're smart enough to manifest it, you'll be dead already. Because it says we live... We are It says we look through a glass darkly. You know what that means? Smoke glass. Did you ever see through smoke glass? You don't see much. That's as good as it gets today. So if you want to wait until you understand this perfectly in order to manifest it, I'm telling you, you ain't going to make it. But if you just choose, throw that out, hey, it's done. I'm just going to walk in this. Just like you did when you were first Christian. You didn't need a class to love. You didn't need a class to have joy. You didn't need a class to have patience. You didn't need, you had it. You had the privilege, the honor, the blessing of knowing that your life was changed. And all you have to do is maintain it by faith. You maintain it by what you choose to allow to inhabit your heart and mind. Let God inhabit. Let His Word inhabit. Just walk by His Spirit and be free. That's what I got to share with you today.